Morgan, we appreciate it. When we booked you, we didn't yet know what Drew Brees was going to say, but his comments from yesterday are the top story this morning. What do you take away from what Drew Brees had to say yesterday on that podcast?
With Drew Brees, and I think like a significant portion of his audience, because he's speaking to someone, it's past the point of not listening. This is willfully misinterpreting player protests during the anthem, willfully misinterpreting them so you can still be mad about them and you have a reason to criticize them. Because if you stop and listen to what people have been saying since 2016 and well before that, have reiterated many times, whether it's Colin Kaepernick, who came up with the idea in consultation with a former Green Beret teammate. Let's remember this, because Colin Kaepernick was just sitting out the anthem, and he talked to this Green Beret teammate and said, hey, let's find a way to register this protest while still participating in the anthem. How about you take a knee? That's a nice, solemn, silent gesture. Okay. And we've always known from the beginning that taking a knee was to protest racialized police violence, of which we've had a glaring example in the last couple of weeks with George Floyd. So now, if you're Drew Brees, you've had many opportunities to just shut up and listen and take in and take at face value what your teammates, what these other players are saying. So for Drew Brees to say, I still consider it disrespectful to the flag when any number of people, including a Green Beret veteran, and like nothing is like the ultimate, pardon the phrase, Trump card when you're in these debates about American patriotism, nothing trumps a combat veteran. So when a combat veteran helped come up with the idea of taking a knee during the anthem, everyone else is supposed to defer to that, except apparently Drew Brees.
What do you think that's going to look like for him now going into that locker room? Because I was saying earlier on the show that I don't think they will be able to get past this going back. Like I can't see them playing a game with Drew Brees and everything being okay. And I've seen a lot of bad things happen. I'm a former hockey player, and I've seen a lot of issues come up. But something like this, I just don't see guys wanting to play with him.
Yeah, well, people might not want to play with him, but they'll have to play with him because they're contractually obligated to do it. And he's still the quarterback. So it's I don't know which individual offensive skill player has the leverage to say, trade him or I'm not playing. But in terms of like all the intangibles that we sports people love to talk about, camaraderie, trust in the locker room, leadership, credibility, stuff like that. Like Drew Brees has squandered all of that. Like for what is what I don't understand. For what?
Morgan Campbell is our guest. This is Leadoff Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Why do you think, Morgan, it is so difficult for some people not to understand? I can understand why it would be difficult for me to understand the lived black experience. I'm not black. But why is it so difficult for so many people to want to try to understand?
The short answers are racism and ego. For a more detailed answer, you probably have to ask a white person, because I do not. My mom uses this phrase, unimaginably stupid. Like someone that is so dumb, like on your worst day, you cannot imagine being that dumb and that dense. So I cannot imagine. I don't know what it's like to be that dense, to be that ignorant, to be that obstinate. that question, for more detail, might be better directed at a Drew Brees. Like the two answers that come to my mind immediately are racism and ego, and like the confluence of the two. Because your ego tells you can't ever say you were wrong about something. So I gotta keep doubling down. But for more detail, I wish I knew. Because if more people knew the answer to that, we wouldn't be where we are right now.
And maybe I'm ignorant for asking you that question. I should be asking again, someone else, a white person. I've done this once this week, and I'm gonna throw the phrase at you, and you're gonna know exactly what the phrase is the moment it comes out of my mouth. But I'm just gonna say the phrase, and I want you to give your on the spot, unfiltered reaction. Here's the phrase.
Yeah.
Stick to sports.
I don't know that we're in the sticks. Well, first of all, I don't know that anyone has ever stuck to sports. Like, all this stuff has been so political and so racial for so long. And when, especially when we're talking about black athletes, right? When a black athlete does something that supports what the mainstream, especially what mainstream white Americans want them to support, it's fine not to stick to sports. So the first time Joe Louis fought Max Schmeling, and Max Schmeling won that fight, like, Joe Louis was a disappointment, not just because he lost the fight to a white person, because under any of the circumstances, white Americans would want a white person to beat a black person. But because he was the American fighting the German, he's this failure. Second time around, he destroys Max Schmeling in a round, and he's this American hero. Same with Jesse Owens, because they're for those small moments in time, they were granted, you know, some provisional access to mainstream American identity, and they got to bear this standard. And their victories over Germans weren't just seen as sporting victories. So, like, this stick to sports thing has never really existed except as a way for certain people to shut down other people, usually black people who have achieved some type of profile and wealth in sports, then using that profile and wealth in sports to advocate for black people, then it's stick to sports. But if you're Jesse Owens outrunning the Germans, no, it's not stick to sports. It's, see, Americans are superior because we beat you in track and field. So I don't know that stick to sports, again, has ever existed except as a way to try to shut down black dissent and black advocacy.
Morgan Campbell is our guest. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
What do you think about with NFL teams that are now, you know, posting, are part of, you know, Blackout Tuesday and posting all these messages during this week when, you know, team like the 49ers, for instance, and I know we were talking on the break about them. What's the first thing that you think of when you see NFL teams now posting these kind of things on social media?
Well, here's the dilemma, like a lot of big brands in the NFL and its individual teams included. Here's the dilemma they face. Blackout Tuesday is going on, and now, like, a lot of your favorite black celebrities, right, and the black entertainers and athletes that generate these massive amounts of wealth, they're participating. So now all these brands don't want to seem out of step with the trendsetters and the tastemakers. So now they have a choice, because they might not care, you know, about any of this. But if they don't participate, they look like they're out of touch. And people say, you guys don't care because you didn't participate. But at the same time, you do participate, and people see through it and say, well, it's great that your social media intern has, you know, keeps an eye on what's trending, but you still don't care. So some of these brands, maybe they do have souls. Maybe they are like people and they do care about something besides just money. But yeah, it rings as very disingenuous when the franchise that let Colin Kaepernick go and decided not to sign him back when they still could have used him during Blackout Tuesday. And it's super disingenuous when the team from Washington, whose name I won't say because it's a racial slur, posted the same message, as I said, on Twitter. That's just like saying, well, we vehemently opposed many forms of racism, but not the form of racism that's on, you know, our helmet.
Mm-hmm. And how about athletes? Because you're seeing athletes getting called out, and then days after the fact, then you see a statement. Do you not kind of feel the same, you know, keeping up with the trends with what these NFL teams are doing? Do you see athletes kind of doing the same thing?
Depends on the athlete. The more media savvy people, you know, are taking the temperature. how much can I say, and how much do I have to kind of temper that with a corporate message like Tiger Woods' statement? And at the same time, like, what we haven't known up till now is how a lot of these people feel about a lot of these issues. And I promise you, especially in a sport like baseball and a sport like hockey, where a critical mass of the players are white and American, like, you're going to have – there are a lot more conservative voices in those locker rooms than you're hearing right now, only because folks don't want to cut across that trend and don't want their Twitter mentions overrun by people criticizing them. So it's tough for me, like, from here to divine what people are thinking. But the other thing, too, is what you're seeing is, especially with baseball, like, a lot of retired black players speaking up about racism in their sport and beyond. And this is not to say that, it's not a coincidence that it's the retired players, the Jimmy Rollins of the world, who can be most vocal. Because when you're playing, again, especially in baseball, and you're that vocal about racial issues, fans, players, media can make your life really difficult. Now, it might be different on the other side of all of this, but look what Tim Anderson went through, like, on a daily, weekly basis, just for being himself. But Tim Anderson is unapologetically an advocate for African Americans in the sport and beyond, but he has had to deal with more than his share of crap. So when players retire, they are absolutely more liberated and more at ease to speak honestly and frankly about issues of race and racism, you know, in the sport and in the rest of real life.
Morgan Campbell, our guest. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Morgan, do you believe, starting with George Floyd's murder a little more than a week ago and what has followed since, do you believe we are at a turning point here? Or do you believe it's more likely that the news cycle fades off of this and on to whatever it is that comes next? Are we in the early stages of a revolution, for lack of a better way to put it? Or will the systemic issues that have plagued this continent for centuries win out and we'll just go back to how things have been?
That's a big question. We're in uncharted waters, so it's hard for me to say definitively what's going to happen. Like, if you'd ask me 5 years ago, would a president of the United States try to use and invoke the military, the United States military, to kill U.S. citizens, I would have said no. But here we are. So all kinds of stuff happening that you wouldn't necessarily have foreseen. So it's hard for me to predict reliably. What I'm curious to see, and let's start with the media, because we all work in the media. Because what happens now, what's happening right now, is that every mainstream outlet wants to borrow black voices. Like, my phone is ringing, my email inbox is full, all my black colleagues, fellow black journalists, because I've never really had a lot of black colleagues, like, when I worked in a corporate setting, but you get my point. Everybody wants to hear from us now, right now, because this thing is hot. And every outlet, just like all the brands, want to look plugged into this issue and look progressive on racial issues right now. What I'm interested to see is whether there will be lasting structural change within these organizations 2, 3, 4 years from now. Are they going to hire more people of color? Black people specifically, are they going to hire more? Are these stories going to get taken more seriously day in, day out beyond George Floyd? Are we going to see more black and non-white decision makers in these organizations? This is what I'm curious to see, because, again, right now everybody has my phone number. A year from now, so you need to hire a lead sports columnist. Will y'all have my number then? I'm not sure. So let's see.
Thank you so much for your input this morning, Morgan. And we certainly look forward to talking to you again. We will reach out. Thanks so much. You got our word.
Well, for you, Scott, I will make time.